As a young kid in Philadelphia in the 80s, I don't remember seeing a single new house in the city. Now, I didn't really understand economic forces like white flight or industrial decline that were keeping the city from rebuilding. To my young mind, houses in the city were just old. This was just not a place where new houses got built. Then, shortly after coming back to town after college, I noticed there was a lot of construction going on. Old dilapidated row houses were getting knocked down, and sleek three-story new houses were popping up in their places. What changed? Well, for one thing, just before I left for college, the city passed the 10-year tax abatement.
The idea was the abatement would save homeowners lots of money, attract real estate developers, and just generally kickstart development in the city.
Most people agree that the policy worked. So why are officials pulling back on it now? And what will it mean for the future of the city? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. Jake Blumgart reports on housing and development for WHYY's Plan Philly. So Jake, describe the building at 5th and Walnut.
500 Walnut is a 26-story luxury condo development. It's right next to Independence Hall. In fact, it has a beautiful shot right through to that historic landmark. And it's got a lot of other crazy features, too, including a robotic parking garage.
Did you say robotic parking garage?
Yes. It is one of the most popular features. It basically ensures that no human has to touch your car other than you, which is apparently a thing that wealthy people worry about. And let me just show you their promotional video.
Okay. Whoa. Wait. It's like hovering platforms moving across the floor.
Exactly. It's the future is here. And then we have this, there's like a balcony on every level.
Wow.
The penthouse is two stories, has its own private elevator, fireplaces, multiple balconies. It was sold for $17.8
million. $17.8
million? Yeah, the most expensive residential sale ever in the city's history.
So who built this thing?
So the building itself is owned by the Scanapico Development Corporation. Tom Scanapico is the owner. He broke ground on the lot in 2015. It was under construction for a few years.
Got two units left to sell. The project has been very successful.
But the kind of controversial thing here is that the people who bought these multi-million dollar condos have yet to pay any property taxes on their units.
But they don't pay property taxes?
Yeah. So Philly has a property tax abatement, which basically says that for the first 10 years after you build something new in the city, you pay taxes only on the land. And, you know, land values are generally not worth as much as the land plus a building on the land. Mm. So essentially, you are paying a fraction of what your property taxes should be for 10 years. And then after that, it kind of wears off and you start paying the full amount.
So why do we do this? Like, how did that come to be that people buying new construction properties don't pay any taxes on the buildings?
So the idea was the abatement would save homeowners lots of money, attract real estate developers who could use it as a selling point, and just generally kickstart development in the city. The idea dates back to the 1990s, when the city was in a very, very different place than it is now. There was very little new construction happening at all.
I guess it was 87 to 97. I don't think there was any brand new condo towers in Philadelphia.
A lot of the people were leaving the city and had been for decades. We've been losing population since at least the 50s. We were losing tax revenue. There was just this kind of unbroken decline for decades. And people were really worried that the city was going to end up like Detroit or one of the other kind of like big industrial cities that was just kind of totally hollowed out in the second half of the 20th century. So this was kind of meant as a Hail Mary bill to kind of stoke real estate development when there just wasn't that much of it happening and, you know, all of the kind of momentum was in the suburbs.
The tax abatement was passed in 97, and there weren't any real ground-up condos until Carl Dranoff started Symphony House 2003-ish. And during that stretch, that expansion from 2003 to 2008, seven brand new ground up condominium towers started.
So did it work?
I mean, yeah, look around the city. It looks extremely different
it does.
Than it did.
It looks way different.
Yeah. In particular, neighborhoods like Fishtown or Point Breeze, you know, there are some blocks that are like half new construction. And if you went back in time, like 15 years ago, there'd probably just be a lot of vacant land there or empty houses. In the 1990s, the city was only seeing less than 20% of the new housing permits in the region, and now we're seeing more than twice that. So, you know, Tom moved to the city in the 70s.
You know, when I began, there wasn't any move, great move into the city, either by empty nesters, by millennials, by anyone.
You recall there really only being two neighborhoods that were seeing investment.
The Art Museum area, which was Fairmount and Spring Garden, and the other would be kind of Queens Village. Those were the two areas.
Now, you know, he says you look around, there is investment all over the city, especially, though, in the neighborhoods right around Center City. And he thinks that's in large part due to the tax abatement.
I think the real estate tax abatement was very effective in making Philadelphia an attractive location. It has been particularly successful in accelerating the development of apartments, whether they be high-rise apartment buildings, of which there's 20 or 30 that have been built, or townhouses or mid-rise apartments, of which there's thousands and thousands built.
And he said that, you know, places like 500 Walnut and other kind of like higher income luxury developments that people might really blanch at giving tax breaks to are still really important because you need an income diverse city.
The people at the high end of the income spectrum who move into Philadelphia pay more taxes than the value of the tax abatement. It's a net positive to the city.
You know, we've seen what happens when rich people leave, and it's not good. You don't want to wind up like Detroit.
When we come back,
it will absolutely stop high-rise condo development, and Philadelphia will again be a city where no new towers will be built.
This is The Why.
Supporting WHYY, Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I'm talking with Jake Blumgart of WHYY's Plan Philly about Philadelphia's 10-year tax abatement.
An ordinance amending Chapter 19-1300 of the Philadelphia Code, entitled Real Estate Taxes, by modifying the duration and or amount of certain tax abatements, and by providing
So Jake, a few weeks ago, Council President Daryl Clark put forward a bill that would really shrink the tax abatement. What was he proposing?
So he proposed essentially cutting the tax abatement for residential development in half. So that would kind of mean in the first year, you would get 100% property tax abatement still. Then the second year, you get 90%, then 80%, 70%, 60%, et cetera.
Well, wait a minute. We just talked about how this abatement had really helped, you know, spur growth in the city. So why would the council president propose scaling it back?
So there are a lot of reasons. For one, the school district is kind of always in need of more money. We have all these old buildings that need a lot of repairs. And over half of every property tax dollar that the city collects goes to the school district. So opponents of the tax abatement say it's depriving the schools of much needed revenue.
We think it's important, particularly for all of those children in those schools that would have the ability to have additional dollars for what they may need, be it environmental, be it training, education. This is about kids. It's about kids getting money for schools.
There's also, you know, the aspect of just in general, like, do we need an incentive like this anymore when there is, you know, now there seems to be more of a demand for people living in the city. You know, all these neighborhoods have kind of come roaring back. Do we need this to stoke demand still? And then on a very base level, it's just politically unpopular. You know, you have all these longtime residents living in, like, say, two-story brick row houses that are kind of like the Philly standard, and they're paying their property taxes. And then you look next door, and there's a three-story townhouse with a roof deck that is occupied by people who probably make a lot more money than you, and they're not paying property taxes. Mm-hmm. And that just really makes a lot of people really mad.
My name is Andrew Miller.
So I talked to Andrew Miller, who lives in Fishtown, which is one of the neighborhoods that's seen the most kind of abatement activity.
I've lived in the neighborhood for about 11 years. I bought my home in December of 2008.
And he, in the 10 years since he's moved there, it has changed dramatically. It's probably the neighborhood outside Center City that's changed the most radically in the last decade.
I lost track of how many new restaurants and things have opened, and obviously there's been a lot of construction. 2 years ago, I had two houses being constructed in close proximity to my house at the same time.
There's construction everywhere. I took a walk with him down his block, and there were two active construction sites on his block.
And can you describe what we're walking by right now?
Right now, we're walking by a construction site where they're building, I think it's a building that's going to hold 16 apartments, I think. There's row homes that were built just a couple years ago next to it, in what used to be an old a refrigerator factory, I think.
So after the plan to scale back the abatement was presented, how did developers react?
So there's a lot of concern in the real estate industry. They say the construction prices are really high in the city, and the abatement helps counterbalance that. They basically argued that the abatement is needed to continue the real estate boom we've been seeing that's really transformed the city. And then for some people, like Tom Scannapico, who, again, is servicing this very specific niche of the housing market, he says this is probably just going to wipe out that end of the housing market.
It will absolutely stop high-rise condo development. And Philadelphia will again be a city where no new towers will be built.
You know, he points out that his project, even with the abatement in effect, is going to bring the city over $26 million over the next 10 years from a variety of other taxes.
Now, this is the same piece of land that when I purchased it a few months before I broke ground, the vacant land was paying $37,000 a year in taxes to the city. So you take a piece of ground that was paying $37,000 a year, you build a high-rise condo tower on it, and that tower contributes $26 million to the city during the tax abatement.
And, you know, there are people on city council who are quite sympathetic to those ideas.
It's sympathetic in what way? Like, how did this whole issue play out on council?
The city council president, Darrell Clark, was really trying to rush this through at the last minute, basically, in the last few weeks of this four-year council term.
Why did he do that? Why did he rush it through?
A lot of people in City Hall are saying that they want to get this abatement bill done now with this council in place, as opposed to next year when a new council is seated that's going to be substantially further to the left than the current one, and that there might be a drive then to get rid of the abatement entirely or to do some other kind of reform that would be even more unpopular with the real estate industry.
So ultimately, what happened with the bill that was put forward?
At first, they had Mayor Kenney's grudging support, but the bill would kind of kick in this change to the abatement originally in the summer of 2020. And developers said that was far too abrupt, that there were a lot of projects in the pipeline that kind of had their financials in place, assuming they were going to get the 10-year tax abatement, and that this was going to ruin a lot of projects that were kind of already on the boards. So he basically threatened council that if they didn't push the implementation date back, he would pocket veto the bill, which meant he wouldn't sign it and it would die. So there's a bit of back and forth, but in the end, the council did what the mayor wanted and pushed the implementation back to the beginning of 2021. And then at the end of last week,
the ayes are 17 and nays are 0, majority of members present, voting in affirmative, the bill passes.
They passed the bill, and the mayor is expected to sign it. Now, it's also really important to note that this doesn't apply to commercial buildings. You know, it's kind of decided that Philly really still needs to attract a lot of like white collar jobs. And so we want to incentivize people, you know, building new office buildings.
So, Jake, I mean, I get the frustration from city residents who aren't getting a tax abatement. You know, I am one of those people. I'm a homeowner who does not get the abatement, and I'm pretty frustrated also. But, you know, I do remember the city, what the city was like before the building boom. And, you know, like you said earlier, a lot of people with any kind of money that the city could tax had left the city. So that left city services in like pretty bad shape. And it does seem like we've turned a corner a little bit. And is there a fear that if these changes go through, we could kind of reverse that trend?
I mean, that's certainly a concern that the developers are trying to stoke. And it is worth noting that there are some fundamentals that are a little, you know, nervous-making for the city moving forward. Population growth is slowing. There are vast swaths of Philadelphia that haven't seen any abatement activity or really any new construction at all and are kind of still just seeing the same pressures they were in the 1990s. There's certainly an argument from some quarters that we should be, you know, maybe incentivizing an even larger abatement in those neighborhoods to try to, like, you know, stoke more new housing construction there. But on the other hand, some people are saying that this, you know, sweeping 10-year property tax abatement, which is really generous, kind of supercharged development, that a lot of these neighborhoods kind of like grew too fast, and that, you know, a more measured or more targeted abatement would kind of allow for healthier, more natural growth.
Thanks, Jake.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Jake Blumgart is a reporter for WHYY's Plan Philly. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Colinari. We had editing help on this episode from Ariella Cohen. Should Philly change the tax abatement, keep it, get rid of it entirely? Let's get the conversation going on Twitter. I'm at Shai Ben-Yaakov. See you tomorrow.